Well, thank you, Dad. Truly is a privilege to be able to open God's Word. And before we get started, let's just pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We're here to open your Word, and we come to you as the author, and we ask you to reveal to us your truth and apply that to our hearts and lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray your blessing on our time here together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, so tonight we are going to be looking in the book of 1 John. So if you can turn to the epistle of 1 John in your Bible, that's where we will be reading from. And if you're familiar with the book of 1 John, if you've ever tried to study it, you will appreciate that there are some challenges, and one would be that there's a lot of different themes in the book of 1 John, but as soon as you try to look at one theme, it gets tangled in with the other themes. It's kind of like a big pile of stuff, and when you're trying to pull one out, everything else comes out with it. And the themes through the book of 1 John, not only are they tangled together, but they go throughout the whole book. So it makes it a little difficult to take one thing, like maybe loving your brother, and look at it in isolation of everything else. So what intention here tonight is just to give a bit of an overview, a structure, and a framework that we can see maybe how some of these themes work together and intertwine through the book of 1 John. And in going that way, we're not going to be able to get into too great detail about any one of the things, but hopefully it will help us to have a better understanding of what God is saying to us through this epistle. So one of the things that is very apparent, that a way that you could organize the book of 1 John, is there's definitely two categories. There's light and there's darkness. And you can put basically everything into these two categories, either on team light or in team darkness. And there's really nothing in between. There's no gray area there. As we'll see, there's sometimes things from one side in the other side when they shouldn't be, but they're either in the light or the darkness. So if we're thinking of this, we're going to think of it kind of like a hockey game or a sports match. So we've got team light and team darkness. And so on team light, what are some of the traits, what are the characteristics of a person, a player, on team light? And we read through the book of 1 John, there's a lot of different ones we could come up with. Again, these all overlap quite a bit, but some of the ones that seem to come up over and over again would be, first one would be about loving God. In chapter 4, verse 21, we read these words, "This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." There's many other verses that talk about loving God. And we're looking at these as characteristics of someone on in the light. Of course, when someone asked Jesus himself what the greatest commandment is, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. In chapter 3, verse 7, we read these words, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." So someone who's walking in the light not only would love God, but practice righteousness, live in a way that is right, do the things that are right. And chapter 5, verse 3, we read about keeping his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Chapter 4, verse 21 again, with loving God, the other part of that is loving our brother. And Jesus said the second commandment, which was like the first, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then, if that wasn't enough, it's kind of all summarized in chapter 2, verse 6, where he says, "He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." And that's a pretty high standard to meet. So just thinking of this as a description of someone walking in the light, someone who loves God, does what's right, keeps God's commandments, what's from God's heart, loves his brothers, and actually reflects and walks just as the Lord Jesus Christ would walk. Now, that might seem pretty hard to accomplish, but it gets worse than that, because not only are these things hard to accomplish, but there's an opposing team as well. And we read about the wicked one in chapter 5, verse 18. Read that, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who sins has... But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So, as we read through 1 John, we see that there is team darkness, there's opposition to what we're supposed to be. And the devil has helpers. We have the world. And in the world, we read about three players: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, when we talk about the world in 1 John, it's not talking about the ball that's going around the sun. It's not even specifically talking about the people that live in the world. It's talking about the devil and his system of opposition to God. So we have the devil, and he uses these three things to oppose what God wants to do in Team Light. And the goal of these players is to bring about sin. In chapter 3, verse 4, we read, "Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So these guys aren't nice players. They play rough. They don't play by the rules. And they're purpose is to bring us into sin, and sin, of course, leads us into a snare, a trap. And you shouldn't use this in a hockey game, but that's what we're up against. And we read about the spirit of Antichrist. And again, that's the spirit of the evil one, the wicked one, in opposition to Christ. And its intent is to hold and to pull us into sin. Chapter 2, verse 18, we read, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming." That's referencing a time in the future yet, a specific person. But even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And there's other places where we read about the spirit of Antichrist in the world that's resisting what God wants to do. Specifically, it's resisting Christ in both doctrine, in teaching and truth, and also in practice. And, of course, sin leads to bondage and death, ultimately. Death is the realm of separation from God. Sin separates from God. It always takes us away from God. Okay, so this might seem like not a very fair hockey game. I don't know if I'd want to play in one like this, where you're by yourself against a team like this. And it can seem hopeless. Our response, we can have a couple of responses to a situation like this. The natural response would be to be overwhelmed. And maybe all these commandments and all the things we're supposed to do and not do would seem burdensome. We can get discouraged and overcome by the world, or at least feeling that way. And can also even lead to discouragement and doubt as to whether I'm even a Christian. And interestingly, these are all addressed in the book of 1 John. But if that's the way what we're getting out of the book of 1 John, we're not getting the right thing, because we read, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So it's not God's intention that we feel burdened. It's not God's intention that we feel overcome or discouraged. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's also not God's intention that we doubt our salvation or doubt God's love for us. In fact, in chapter 5, verse 13, we read that "these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So, if you've read through 1 John, you know that there's a couple things missing from this this hockey game yet. And on Team Light, we're not alone. We've got help. There's another player on Team Light, and his name is Brother. Chapter 1, verse 7, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And Brother features very prominently through the book of 1 John. You know, Brother can be a real help to us. We're not alone. However, Brother can also be a bit of a problem on our team. And in fact, sometimes Brother can seem like more of a hindrance than a help. And Brother is faced with all the same challenges that that we are faced with as well. Fortunately, Brother's not the only person on Team Light. We have some real help. We have the Father and the Son. Chapter 1, verse 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are on Team Light. So maybe at this time it would be good to ask the question, so how do I become a member of Team Light? How do you become part of the team? Is that something that just happens? There's a lot of possibilities. One of the ways that, I'm not saying that this is true, but one of the ways that you could look at it is you ask, who's on Team Light? You know, like you're playing a game, who's all on my team? Put your hand up, right? It's one of the things that comes up quite a few times. There's people who say they are on Team Light. But it's also very clear that not everyone who just saying you're on Team Light, saying you're a Christian, saying you're a follower of God, doesn't actually make you part of the team. Another thing would be actions. How do I act? Does that, if I act like I'm on Team Light, if I act like a Christian, if I act like Christ, does that make me a Christian, a follower of Christ? And of course, if that were the case, what would the standard that I would have to meet be? Both those things are not what makes us part of Team Light. Team Light is actually a family team. We notice that God is our Father. If you want to be on Team Light, you have to be born into the family. The only way that you can come to the Father is through the Son. I'd like to read a few verses from chapter 5 of 1 John. And after touching on this several times through the throughout the book, this is where he comes down and lays it out the clearest, what it means to be in the light, what it means, how you get to become part of the family. 1 John 5, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We become a member of Team Light. We become a member of the family of God. We become a child of God by coming to the Father through the Son, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is ABC. Admit, believe, and come. So, the things that we have written on our uniform in blue here, these are all actions, or somewhat actions. They're things that bear some evidence, things that can be seen. But it's not the things that can be seen, the things that we do that make us part of Team Light. There's things that are deeper, things that are reality, what we are. And if we're going to understand what God's trying to say to us, we've got to make sure we're not getting mixed up between causes and effects. And what we have written here, these are all actually effects. These are not what make us who we are. These come out of what we are in Christ. I don't know if it's, doesn't seem to be advancing here. There we go. Okay. So, for each of these things that we do, so these actions, there's an underlying reality, what we are in Christ. So in red here, we have written the things that we are. First one is, we are loved. Chapter 3, verse 1, we read these amazing words. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. In chapter 4, verse 19, we read that we love him because he first loved us. I don't love as a Christian just because I should love. Love comes out of what I am. I am loved by Christ. And these are all things that can't change, the things in red. The verse that we read in chapter 3, verse 7 about practicing righteousness gives us the reason that we practice righteousness. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness, and that's our action, and then it gives us the cause, is righteous, just as he is righteous. Being righteous as Christ, that's what we are as believers. That's what Christ has done to us through salvation. Practicing righteousness is just an echo or an effect of this. Being right with God can and will have a massive impact on how I act. So, as a child of God, I am righteous. I'm also forgiven. Chapter 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Again, connected with being righteous, but our sins are dealt with. We are right with God. We're forgiven. In Christ, I am forgiven. Fellowship depends on what I do. Forgiveness is that's something that God does for us. So as a believer, as a child of God, I am forgiven. And being forgiven is a powerful motivation to want to follow God and keep his commandments. The verse we read in chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. this title that we're given. It's more than just a title. It's an identity, a belonging, a security. I'm a child of God. If I'm a child of God and you're a child of God, that means we're in the same family. We're brothers, right? And that gives a practical reason for me to care about you and love you. And as we'll see, that's the foundation for our fellowship and our relationship with others. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We were instructed to walk just as he did, just as Christ walked. The reality is that just like the life lives within the seed, Christ's life in us, when he appears, when Christ comes again, we're going to be like him. As a child of God, that's going to happen. And what a powerful motivation for us to want to be like him. So in red, we have the things that we are in Christ. Whatever happens, those things can't change. As a part of, as a member of the family, that's what we are. The problem comes when the things in blue don't quite line up with the things in red. So you look at this, you say, we're in a good position. We've got a good team. We've got security. It makes sense that I should do what's right. I have no reason to walk in darkness. However, if you've lived as a Christian for more than a couple days, you will know that it's a struggle. And the devil has tactics as well. One of the things we have to remember here is this isn't like the result of this game is already determined. Team Darkness is not going to win. We read in chapter 4, verse 4, that you are of God. So when we're a child of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In the next chapter, 5, verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So Team Darkness can't win. They're going to be overcome, but they can make things difficult and hard for us. And in chapter 2, verse 21, we read about the devil's main tactic, and that is lying. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. In the Gospel of John, we read of the devil that when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. In Revelation, he's called that old serpent called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. And as you dig into it, you see that the tactics of Team Darkness are all based on deceit, on lies, on things that are not true. And out of lies come hate. In chapter 2, verse 11, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And also fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he who fears is not made perfect in love. So these are some of the devices of the evil one, but of course there's an antidote for that. There's we have a weapon against that. The weapon against lies is truth. Chapter 2:21, I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So in Jesus Christ, we have the source of truth. We also have the source of love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And love was demonstrated to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still one thing missing from Team Light. Another member of the team who is actually very prominent and very essential in our Christian life. And that is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And it's a little hard to envision what the Holy Spirit would represent in a game of hockey, because this would be a very unfair advantage if you had someone like this on your team. Because some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in his job, we read that he's always with us. So he's with us all the time. He brings truth to our attention. He directs us back to the Son, back to the truth and the life that comes from him. He assures us that we are his. He helps us to understand the truth. Not only does he help us to understand the truth, he also gives us the strength to do what is right. He also convicts us when we're getting off track. Chapter 2, verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Anointing talks about like an oil or something that you put on, and the idea would be that it's with you and it does something to you and gives you strength. So through the Holy Spirit, he's always with us, and he gives us what we need. So in remaining time here, I'd just like to kind of think a little bit. We go through some of the things we read about here. Look through the plays that the devil does, and how that works, and how from the book of 1 John, we're given the solution to what the devil's trying to do. So one trick we read about is confusion. And again, it's based on lies and deceit. Confusion. The devil wants you to be confused about what team you are on. Before you were saved, the devil wanted you to think that you were saved. After you're saved, after you're a child of God, the devil wants you to think that you're not, or at least doubt that you're not, or that you are. In chapter 2, verse 4, we read about someone who would say that they are on Team Light, but they're really not. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. another tactic that the devil would use in regards to confusion about who's on whose team would be to have us think that these players on Team Darkness are actually on Team Light, and to provide decoys or read about false brethren and heresy. Like, hey, I'm on your team. Pass me the puck. But they're not. The other thing that can help in, and as we read through the book of 1 John, we read about when someone from Team Light is actually dressed more in uniform that would look like Team Darkness, when our action's not right, that can cause confusion as well. And that can be a source of confusion for us when we are in playing over in the dark side, and we're, in a sense, wearing that uniform. It can be confusing for us to even know what team we're on, and the devil really knows how to play that. In chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, if you find yourself in a situation like this, where you're not sure about your salvation, we have to go back to the truth. And every time we find ourselves in these situations that the devil brings us and drags us over into this dark area here, it's based on lies. The Holy Spirit always points us back to the truth. The truth through Christ is in God's Word. And we read the verses in chapter 5 about how we become a child of God. A little more to add to that, in these verses here, chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. Salvation rests on God's promise to us. So come back to God's Word and the truth. And we don't judge who we are by our actions. It comes from who we are, what Christ has done for us. Another way that the devil tries to cause deception and confusion is with by twisting things. And one of the things he likes to twist and abuse is love. I think love, I don't know if you're familiar with how a bazooka works. It's like a big gun, a rocket launcher, but it actually shoots out both sides. It shoots a projectile out the one side, and then it shoots a counterweight out the other side. So it's it counterbalances it, and you're able to fire a large bullet. But I kind of look at love that way, not like the effects of that, but when you love something, when you aim love at something, there's a counter measure to that. You can't direct your affections towards something without directing them away from something else. You cannot simultaneously love something or someone on Team Light and Team Darkness at the same time. They're opposites. So when we direct our love toward the things from the wicked one, we're like turning that gun around, right? And we're firing the other side back at Team Light. In chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17, we have described how the devil uses this. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So when we turn our love toward the world and these players that the devil has polished up, we're directing our affection away from God. So we can't love God when we're loving the world. And when we're over there, we get stuck in sin and held there. Another tactic that the devil has with love as well is to try to get us to, if he can get us to hate one of the players on Team Light, you can't simultaneously hate brother and love God. And that can be very effective for him as well. So, chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? So what's the solution? Again, the solution is truth. The Holy Spirit directs us back to the Son. Love comes from God. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love him because he first loved us. When we get love focused back on God, on Christ, that swings our affections around, and it puts us in a place to be made right with our brother as well. So there's a couple other things we could look at here. Our time's gone. I'd just like to, there's one thing that's missing from a hockey game here yet, and of course that's the goal net. So what's the goal? And of course, the Holy Spirit is always directing us back to Jesus Christ. And in fact, that's how he starts out this book here. I'd just like to read the first few verses that actually give us the focus, the goal of this whole book. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can know you, that we can be your children, that you have given us the resources to do what's right, to do what you ask us to. Thank you for our brothers in Christ, and I pray that we would have a heart of compassion and love for each other, and that we would be focused on you, the giver of life, the source of love, the way and the truth. I pray that this week we would be encouraged in you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.